Why you think they killed him?
Why do they kill all holistic doctors?
Messing up the medical industry.
You playing, you shortstopping their grind. Why do niggas get killed for hustling in front of a nigga spot?
Hi there, this is Isaac Weisop, your host of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. And with great sadness, it seems that we've lost another rapper. And, you know, I'm not being facetious here. Myself being a fan of the hip-hop culture and music. Ironically, I wasn't actually a big fan of Nipsey Hussle. I'm not very familiar with his works. Apparently, he had a new album out, Victory Lap, that was well-received. But the tracks I had heard in the last few years from him, nothing grabbed me. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. In our conversation today, we're going to talk about some of the conspiracy theories floating around about the tragic and unexpected passing of this rapper. He was definitely on the rise. He had worked his way up through the independent labels into a major label. And he died from a gunshot. 6 bullets, apparently, from what I'm reading. Outside of his own clothing store in Los Angeles. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, he is a well-known rapper from L.A., a reformed gang member. Maybe not reformed, I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. Like I said, I don't follow him too closely, but that's where he was from, and that is where they took him out. Who is they? Great question. But he died on March 31st, 2019, and the first thing we're going to talk about is that he died at the age of 33. Now, this number 33 comes up often when traversing the realm of conspiracy theory. 33 is the number used for the highest ranking Freemasons. You get up to the 32nd degree through ritual and, indoctrination. 33rd degree is only for those invited. I've actually had a couple 32nd degree Freemasons on my show in the past. But the number doesn't stop there at Freemasonry. No. It goes further. You could even take this over to the Christian realm. My faith, the Greek Orthodox faith, the prayer ropes have 33 knots on them. I'm actually holding one right now. And I counted it up. Sure enough, 33. We could also look, there's a million examples. You're smart enough, you can find them online. The one I find the most entertaining is, of course, Walt Disney, because I focus on entertainment. And Disney, of course, the king of entertainment. Walt Disney was a Freemason member of the Order of De Molay. He was also a member of the Rosicrucian Ancient Mystical Order of the Rosy Cross. That's why he had a secret room inside of Disneyland, Club 33. Or Disney World. Which one was it? Pop trivia. Which one was it? I think it was Disney World. No, I think it was Disneyland. He was out in L.A. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But it's curious because he was in the Order of De Molay. A reference to Jacques De Molay. Who was that, you ask? Well, go back to the Knights Templar. He was a high-ranking, the highest rank at the time when they were disbanded. One of the, they called it a Knight Master, something like that. And he was a heretic. They said that these Templars were out of control. They were doing the homo things, the butt sex rituals. They were doing Baphomet goat worship stuff. Worshipping a floating head of Baphomet. Now, the Baphomet thing we just talked about, because I just recorded an episode of the podcast where I break down the symbolism of Jordan Peele's new movie, Us. So if you haven't listened to that yet, check it out. It's the next episode in the past here. Go one more back. Been a lot going on lately here, so I thought I would drop a real quick Nipsey Hussle show. I was going to add it to the Us symbolism breakdown, but that would, I don't know. I didn't want to, okay? So, anyways, I saw the Nipsey died, and I was like, okay. Because immediately whenever one of these celebrities dies, I got to take a look, right? I would not be in the conspiracy community if I did not. So I took a look, and at first glance, I thought, okay, I know he's been in, gang-related type activities. He was in L.A., got shot. I mean, this stuff happens, right? And then I saw he died at the age of 33, and then I thought, okay, well, you know, the 33 thing, that's kind of interesting, right? But still, I was kind of on the fence. I was like, I don't know. You know, people die at the age of 33. It happens, right? But then a friend reached out to me and said, take a look at what Nipsey was working on right before he died. He was working on a documentary about Dr. Sebi. Who's Dr. Sebi? I didn't know. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know who that was. He is this infamous healer. And I actually read about him. If you go to theroot.com, they've got a pretty good article about him. 5 Mysteries Surrounding the Life and Death of Dr. Sebi. His name was Alfredo Bowman from Honduras. He was a vegetarian herbalist, healer, pathologist, biochemist. Claimed he could cure every disease there was. And then when I read a little bit more about his claims, I recognized some of the ideas, because years and years ago I had a friend and he told me about how his aunt had a vegetarian diet because she had cancer and she was trying to, you know, cure it or get rid of it or was in remission or something like that. And she talked about alkaline, having an alkaline diet. And at the time, I didn't really know what that meant. Went to college, did an anatomy course, and they talked about the pH balance. And it actually reminded me of my conversation with that guy. And, you know, the idea is that, and damn near every food there is more acidic than it is alkaline when you're talking about the pH scale. Almost everything. So to keep your body in a state of alkalinity is a little tougher than one would think. I mean, you got to be eating like straight vegetables, apparently. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. So don't listen to my advice without looking into this, but it doesn't matter. Dr. Sebi is who we're talking about. And he's this healer, had all these little fringy diets. And of course, you know where we're going with this. We're going with the conspiracy that, now come in close. We're coming with a conspiracy that Big Pharma and Big Food with their GMO Frankenfoods took out Dr. Sebi years ago, and now they're taking out Nipsey Hussle.
I said the medicine really is in the candy, because even when you drop a ball like about Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
Like just that one thing, they killed Dr. Sebi, will make somebody go research who Dr. Sebi is.
100%. You met Dr. Sebi?
I never met him. I met his wife, and I take his products for sure.
Now, the coolest guy ever. I mean, he was, when we interviewed him, I think he was about 74.
Oh, yeah,
I
interviewed him?
Yeah, we interviewed him twice.
Damn.
Not here, but when I was on the other show, he was able to jump from the floor up here on his knees.
At 70 something.
Or, on his knees, yeah. And jump back down and no problems, nothing like that.
Why you think they killed him?
Why do they kill all holistic doctors?
Right. Messing up the medical industry.
You short-stopping that grind. Why do niggas get killed for hustling in front of a nigga spot? You short-stopping the grind. And these niggas, they check is billions. You got niggas that get flipped for a couple hundred thousand. So you playing with some pharmaceutical money, you know? And what's crazy, I'm working on doing a documentary on the trial in 1985 when Dr. Sebi went to trial against New York.
Right.
Because he put in a newspaper, he cured AIDS.
Yeah. Did he
beat the case. And he went to federal court the next day and beat that case on record.
Yep.
And nobody talk about it.
That's crazy.
Man. What makes you want to do a documentary about Dr. Sebi?
I think the story is important. I think it's a powerful narrative.
It is.
You know what I mean? And I think imagine this. Anybody in this room, if I could say, hey, somebody cured AIDS, y'all be like, yeah, right. And then I could show you a example of him going to trial and proving in a court to a jury that he cured AIDS. Y'all would be interested in that.
Absolutely.
And
100%.
Y'all would look into the way he did it, right? So I feel like more so than like championing his products or explaining his methodology, put some light on that case.
Imagine being able to cure cancer or being able to cure any type of herpes. It's all kinds of
things.
And
that's what he do, by the way.
That's what he did. He used to send all types of vitamins up to the station.
What do you think of that? Is that crazy? I don't know. Is it crazy to think they might take somebody out because they are a threat to their well-being? Not just their well-being. We're talking not millions, but billions of dollars between the big food and the big pharma complex. I mean, did you know that in America, big food dumps millions and millions of dollars countering any kind of legislation that requires labeling of the foods with genetically modified ingredients? Why do you think they do that? They say that the food is fine, the GMOs are great for you, and that Roundup is good for you. Chicken soup for the soul is the Roundup. Drink the Roundup out the bottle, it's good for you. That, this BT corn, the sweet corn, it kills insects that get on it. It rots out their guts and kills the insects, but it's 100% fine for human consumption. Totally fine. What could go wrong? So, like, I don't trust big food, nor do I trust big pharma. They have a place. Both of them have a place, right? Like, you know, kudos for the food industry being able to make food cheaper with the corn subsidies that we're all paying, but whatever. And, you know, you're able to feed more people over in other areas where people don't have access to food. Like, that's great. And big pharma, by the way, too, it has its place. Some people can't fix what they need to fix through diet and exercise. So I'm not trying to say they're all evil, but they do have evil tendencies. So the idea that maybe they take out this very famous Dr. Sebi, who was talking about balancing pH inside the body, that could be. The alkaline vegan diet, I don't know enough about it to make a good comment. I don't doubt it works. I think there's something very dangerous with our Western fast food diet. I don't think it's good for us to eat that way. But you don't want to hear my diet advice, do you? Nah, you don't want to hear that. Let's move on. The curious element here, because I saw that and I heard the conspiracy, and I thought, okay, there's something. I can get behind that, right? But Dr. Sebi, when I was doing a little research, was actually working with Lisa Left Eye Lopez, you know, from TLC. She's the one that died. Do you remember when she died? She was filming a documentary called Last Days of Left Eye. I don't remember if that was the working title or not. That'd be a bit obvious, right? But she was filming a documentary down in Honduras. She was following this, you know, sort of granola lifestyle, meditation, yoga, vegan, all that stuff. But to find out that she was actually working with Dr. Sebi, who I imagine, I'd have to rewatch it. I imagine he was a part of the documentary, but I don't know. It's been years because I actually watched that documentary when I was researching for my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, which we're going to have a quote from here in a minute. But it turns out Lisa Lopez, Left Eye, which of course is worth considering, but we won't talk about that right now. That's the all-seeing eye. She was going down to Honduras for physical and spiritual health. She had followed and endorsed a guru named Dr. Sebi, who was based out of there. And Dr. Sebi was very controversial for reasons we'll discuss here in a second. But what I found curious was that Left Eye had a lot of paranormal experiences down there in Honduras. So if you read from my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, here is a segment I want to briefly read to you. That same article discusses how some of the others who went to Honduras with Left Eye sensed something disturbing before the fatal accident. Her cousin, Jasmine Brody, said, "The air out there was thick. We were staying where people who were sick went to get well. They would take the herbs to get better, and if they didn't get better, they died there. A few people died in the room, and when I was in the room, I felt them Haunted is a pretty strong word, but I would say there were spirits in the room. Left Eye was also in touch with the spiritual realm, which included attempts to contact her dead father's spirit, or even Tupac Shakur, who again also died on the 25th. And let me step out of that for a second. There's also, you know, when you're looking at conspiracies about celebrities dying, there's so many things to look at. One, we could talk about people that died on the 25th. Another, you could talk about the 27 Club. In the book, I talk about the 25th. We'll leave it at that. Okay, back in. Her relatives explained that she would sometimes disappear up to days at a time to try and communicate with spirits. And she sometimes claimed she succeeded. Some of the relatives were concerned about her experimenting into the occult. 2 years before Left Eye's death, her mother had a vision in which she saw her in a casket and felt that she was going to die young. In the final footage before her death, you can see that she's holding a large tin that was allegedly used to hold a set of tarot cards. A passenger in the back seat clearly asks for the cards, and Left Eye hands them off right before you can hear the SUV skidding out of control. To make things even worse for Left Eye, she was involved in another car accident just 2 weeks prior to the fatal car accident that took her life. Left Eye was inside of a van that accidentally hit and took the life of a 10-year-old Honduran boy by the name of Byron Fuentes Lopez. The accident didn't appear to have any foul play and occurred because the boy was walking alongside a dangerous road. Left Eye and her crew stayed at the hospital with the boy and his family and even went as far as to pay for his medical expenses and funeral. In the documentary, she says she felt a presence of a spirit following her, and it may have been a mistake that the boy lost his life and not her. She notes the coincidence of his last name being the same as hers. His was Lopez with a Z, while hers was Lopez with an S. She believed that a spirit was chasing her. She said, "I have premonitions, dreams. I think it's the energy in the air." The final few scenes before the day of filming Left Eye's fatal accident included a chilling shot of Left Eye in her room saying that whatever you fear gets manifested when you're in Honduras. She said, it's like going down a hill in a car and not hitting the brakes. Meanwhile, on the wall of the room, you can see that she spray-painted a giant, all-seeing eye of Horus. Now, what do you think of that? There's something going on down there. I don't know that Dr. Sebi had her killed. That would be a plot twist. But there's 6 degrees of separation here. And in the book, I go deeper with, Left Eye talking about her evil alter egos, and her own mom said her death was predestined. She said that the Lord prepared her for Lisa's death 2 years in advance. So a lot of weird stuff going on there. So what do you think? What do you think about Nipsey? Is there an idea that maybe he was trying to reveal the truth about Dr. Sebi in this documentary, and he got to be taken out because of it? That sounds crazy, right? Well, how crazy is that? Because recently, YouTube released a public statement about how they're going to stop promoting videos that have miracle cures in them. Well, isn't that interesting? You know, I have my beef with YouTube. They constantly are trying to knock down the conspiracy community. And sometimes rightfully so, right? Like, some of these people are pretty gross. It's not me, though. It's not me. But the miracle cures kind of took me off guard back when it happened. And I thought, well, that's real interesting, because I've always been suspicious of big pharma and big food. So that is real curious. Now, even more so, if you want to look at Dr. Sebi a little bit deeper, there was an article here. I'm just going to read it to you because they encapsulate better than I can. In November of 1985, Sebi put advertisement in the Amsterdam News saying that his unorthodox remedies cured AIDS, sickle cell, lupus, and other diseases. On February 10th, 1987, Seeby was arrested and the New York Supreme Court filed a civil and criminal case against him for practicing medicine without a license, making fraudulent medical claims and selling products that weren't approved by the FDA. Dr. Seeby won the court case in 1988. And then I read on a different article about this that during the court case, the judge asked him to bring one patient that could testify that he had actually cured him of AIDS. And Dr. Seeby showed up with 70 of them. And that's why he is who he is. That's why he was helping all these high-profile celebrities like Michael Jackson, Left Eye Lopez, John Travolta, Eddie Murphy. He's helping all of them out. So, in conclusion, I don't know who killed Nipsey Hussle. I'm very sorry. I wish I could tell you it was the Illuminati. I don't know. Is it possible? I mean, anything's possible, right? But is it likely possible that he was taken out for trying to spread the word of Dr. Seeby? I mean, maybe, because I'm reading on this article on The Root about how the it says right here, major newspapers didn't even cover his death. In fact, major newspapers barely covered his life. Surely a man who not only claims to have cured cancer, but also beat a lawsuit alleging that he was a quack by bringing in apparently healed patients into a courtroom would be someone the world would want to hear from. Newspapers didn't even invest energy in debunking his claims. So, there's going to be a lot more on this here in the future, and I wonder if the project Nipsey was working on may get a premature release, maybe an unfinished release, I don't know. But there's definitely going to be more to cover here on this whole thing as it unfolds. So if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. And I highly advise you listen to the next episode. It's my breakdown of Jordan Peele's movie Us. You won't believe the symbolism hidden in here. It's all about the initiation, the mass ritual initiation like Alice in Wonderland. Why do you think the white rabbit is in there? The occult rituals, magic, the hermetic axiom, as above, so below, the Baphomet, how it connects with Jordan Peele's first film, Get Out. It's all in there. Luciferian initiation, the meaning of 1111. My God, how much do you need? Carl Jung, the shadow, confronting the shadow in the all-seeing eye. It's all in there. So take a listen to that. Let me know what you think. Leave a review on the iTunes. Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And as always, stay woke.